What's a conversation about immigration sound like here in Buffalo? Well, we asked the trio of Buffalonians, Eva Hassett, an immigration resettlement activist, and Ayla Abiyad, who trained as an architect in Aleppo, Syria, of all places, in a peaceful country, imagining she would return. Well, she's now here for good. And Larry Crist, a local businessman in the high-end lighting trade. We asked them to imagine they were preparing a little quiet dinner for White House officials, or even the commander-in-chief himself, to try to get a Buffalo perspective on immigration into the national conversation. Well, this trio wouldn't stop talking. Eva knew right away how she would host the special guests.
I think for food, we take the International Institute's map for adventurous eaters, and we get something, which is a real thing, and we get something from each of the ethnic restaurants that are on that map for food. So we have as many different kinds of ethnic food as we possibly can. And I think we should ask everybody that comes to the dinner to talk about their ancestry, especially the people who were born here. You know, I have to say, I think about the rhetoric and this, you know, this hate stuff or whatever we're talking about with in terms of what is America. We have done this again and again and again. My name comes from my grandmother, who was Italian. The family, when they came here in the 1880s, was named Castelvici. But as soon as they got here, they changed it to Castine because Italians couldn't get a job. Italians were not welcome. You know, my father is Irish. Hassett is actually Irish. In the Hassett family, once the patriarch got here, Michael, he decreed there would be no boys named Michael or Patrick because Mick and Patty were slurs. My question always is, what are we going to learn? So I guess I would, back to the dinner, I would have each person talk a little bit about their story, their ancestry, and see if I couldn't get the conversation to be about when we're going to learn.
Who would you invite? Who's important? Ayla, who do you think should come?
I would be more than happy to, first of all, have like a personal conversation with whomever have fear or have concerns about immigrants and refugees. I would love to be on that dinner table myself because I always feel like when people feel nervous when I introduce myself, hi, my name is Ayla, I'm from Syria. When they get scared, I really want to invite them to lunch and talk to them and tell them about myself and where I come from and tell them that, you know, Syrian people are not that scary. We all are normal people like you guys. We have dreams and hopes and fears. Most of us, we have 11 million displaced people internally and outside Syria, and most of us share one dream. I can tell you that for sure. We dream to be able to find a job and live next to people who, like our loved ones. Most of my friends and my family are scattered all over the globe. They're either struggling finding a job or they're struggling because they're away from their families. So I would like to, on that dinner table, I would like to talk about that and tell that we contribute, we work, we pay taxes, and we contribute building our communities, hoping that this person leaving the table, I want to tell him that immigration and asylum and coming here as a refugee is an extremely difficult process.
That's definitely a good message for our guest. Larry, we want you to do the lighting, of course.
Of course, but of course.
More than that, would you give the president a piece of your mind, or would you be more subtle?
But I would have it at a refugee or immigrant's home.
And oh, that's a great idea.
And I would have them there to talk to the president. And I would allow him, hopefully, to make a judgment that I don't think he's experienced. And I'm assuming that that opportunity may change him. Or what I perceive his view is. I would like to give him the opportunity to walk down a different direction that I perceive he's moving now.
You know, for me, it's a truism that you can't have a growing economy if you don't have a growing population. If you don't have a growing population, you don't have a growing workforce, so you don't have employees that employers can hire. If you don't have a growing population, you don't have customers for the businesses or consumers for the services. So those companies that sell product or provide services don't have anybody to sell them to. If you don't have a growing economy, you don't have homeowners, so you can't have strong neighborhoods. If you don't have a growing population, you don't have taxpayers. So the government that has to provide public safety services and infrastructure services doesn't have the money that it needs to do that. So in order to grow your economy, you need to grow your population. What we know nationally, and it's also true in Buffalo, is that the fastest growing population is the immigrant population. And in Buffalo, for as long as I've been alive, every 10 years when we have the census, we all kind of wait to hear how many people, how much smaller we are, how many people have left. But what we're beginning to see, and it hasn't turned around yet in Buffalo, but it's turned around in a lot of places in this country, is that the immigrant population is growing so fast that it is outpacing the shrinkage in the native-born population. And so in Buffalo, I think between 2000 and 2014, the immigrant population grew by more than 32%. The native-born population shrank by 5%. Mm. And so while we're still shrinking, we're shrinking more slowly. And the mayor of Buffalo is saying that he's projecting a change to growth in the 2020 census, which I think is going to be the first time in 70 years that the city has grown. And that will be because of immigrants. So you can't grow your population without immigrants, and you can't grow your economy without population.
Let's just march over and talk to Larry here. You have found that your workforce can really take advantage of some of the things that Eva is talking about here. How does it work on the factory floor? How do people assimilate? And is there a sense of community among people who come from these faraway places and have these stories, and regular Buffalonians who eat wings and are heartbroken by the bills and can't get away from the Buffalo Sabres?
Well, on the factory floor, we really can't help the bills, but we can try to make great lighting. But the amazing part is that we have people that come with a global view, a diversity, a different religion, that have broadened our perspective, provincial Buffalo's perspective about the world. We do business around the globe, and it's helped us. And then the amazing overflow of help from our employees, where they've taken pride in our city. They will help somebody. Somebody needs furniture. Somebody needs clothing. Somebody needs to learn the bus system better. All that wells up, and we become a team, a different team, a multicultural team.
Ayla, where is that part of your mission of giving back to Syria? I would say you studied architecture in Aleppo. Without speaking about the difficulties now and the horrible sense that there really still is no light at the end of the tunnel for the Civil War, at some point, there's going to be a lot of architecture to do in Aleppo. Mm-hmm. You think about that?
Of course, all the time. I daydream about going back to my country, even though Buffalo is now my second home. I lived third of my life in Buffalo now. It's been since 2009, so you do the math about my age. So I always dream about going and give back to my country, and I believe at some point there will be a lot of opportunity to rebuild, because you see the horrible, heartbreaking pictures of, like, destroyed infrastructure, leveled neighborhoods. How is that going to happen and when? This is a big question mark in my head. I don't have an answer. I don't believe any political leader or anything that have a straightforward answer to what's going to happen and when in Syria. This is why my plan is to give back to Buffalo, because I feel Buffalo like gave me back my wings, and now I feel I can do anything. And as part of that, I try as much as I can to contribute building my community. In my case, literally like doing buildings and designs. I try to give back to the community, like the International Institute. I try to volunteer my time to help newly coming refugees and Syrian family to integrate faster, because I believe the faster refugees and immigrants integrate, the faster they can give back And I believe that the International Institute and Buffalo in general, there's a lot going on in that effort, and I appreciate that. My son is Buffalonian, so I don't know if I'm when I would be going back.
You know, it's a troublesome identity now. I think, you know, if you think of the George W. Bush years and the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, during the Obama years, we've had a war in Yemen, and, you know, in many ways, we're helping to sustain a famine in Yemen, and Americans don't really know about that, but yet there are millions of people who see the consequences of our foreign policy. You travel all over the world. Your products are in museums and places all over the world. It sounds like your workforce is getting the benefit of this sort of out-of-the-bubble expertise that immigrants give. I mean, I'm wondering if that helps your business.
I think we haven't used it as a selling point. Hopefully, it would bubble up from who we are and what we stand for. I must say, in traveling around the world, the hardest explanation I have is explaining what direction America is headed. They understand my company, its functions, but where we stand as a country. So I think I owe it to those that I'm involved with at home and those customers that I talk to. I need to tell them what we stand for.
That was our conversation with three Buffalonians: Eva Hassett, Executive Director of the International Institute of Buffalo, architect Ayla Abiyad from Syria, and Larry Crist, Chief Operating Officer of Light Lab Corporation.